Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by Stacy Nyman. Stacy, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very much better. So that's a definite positive.
Did you hear that? You were going to say, I'm doing really, then you kind of paused and you said, I'm doing better. So that's all good. So if you haven't tuned into us for a while, you're like, yeah, that's Chris and Stacy. They always record together, but that's not been the case recently. So Stacy's taken a brief leave of absence, and like life kind of went on a detour after an operation back. How long ago was that operation, Stacy?
February 24th. Right? Yeah. February 24th was the surgery.
Holy cow. So yeah, we've been trying to put it together piece by piece until Stacy hit recovery, and then life really went strange on you.
Yes. So, yes, you know, it did.
So in that time though, we were going to record show number 400, right? And then, you know what? We wanted to make sure we gave you ample time to rest and recover, because we're going to talk all about this. But here's how I think we should do today, if you're okay with this. Let's record show 400. We've got a fun show, right? We've not buoyed ourselves based upon like interviews from this, that, or the other. We are community-based and we're community-driven. We know who we are, and we're really good at it. So these questions are all about fun and just having a good time and with the community. But after we're done with the show, let's talk all about everything that's hit after February 24th. You cool with that?
Yep, that sounds like a good plan.
Good plan.
Before and I have start, to say, if you hear any audio in the background, so I will give a little tip, but I am on a wound back, and it is noisy at times, so it makes kind of like, you know, a passing gas sound every once in a while. So I know that you'll all assume that that was just Chris just letting it go, but
I was going to say, hang on, time out, Stacy. I'm going to claim that for the last 400. If you ever heard me passing gas, that was my wound back from 400.
So it kind of pops sometimes like a popcorn maker. So, you know, sometimes we have some audio issues, but if you hear some popping noises and stuff for this time, it's probably just my wound vac, who I have named Dolores. So it's probably just Dolores making some noises.
I think from this point forward, if I'm ever recording the show and there's an audio disturbance, I'm just going to say wound vac and I'm just going to move on.
Yes, you know? Good plan. I'm
just going to say that. It actually sounded to me like the Predator. So if you've watched the movie The Predator, it has this weird clicking noise when he talks. Uh-huh. It sounds like The Predator. Yep. So, all right. So before we start, though, let's just get right into this. Give me something good. I love hearing good, especially from you. So give me something good.
Yeah, it's a bit. And I think that we both have very similar goods right now. So Ethan is graduating this week. So he had his senior prom on Friday. And then he graduates this coming Thursday, and we were just we just went over to the elementary school where they were doing a senior walkthrough, and we caught them coming back, and it was just so fun to see him in his cap and gown with all of his friends and everything. So it's just a big celebratory time coming up for the family, and we're so proud of him and everything that he's accomplished. He's definitely a hard worker, so lots to be proud of.
Nice.
How about you?
You mentioned the same thing. My kids just went through graduation, and it's not even so much the graduation. I'm just eager to see the next stages of their life.
Me too.
And, you know, we were sharing pictures and like just even memories yesterday. And I could remember taking them as just young twins to gymnastics in Park Ridge. They were just maybe 7 or 8 in a shared gymnastics class on the mats. And then I remember their graduation from 8th grade. I remember the first day of freshman of high school, and Lisa sent me a picture and they look so different.
They grow so much.
You know, I'm excited to see the next stage though. You know what? They've earned it. So, and you know, I trust that we've raised good, smart kids, and I'm excited to see what the future holds for them, you know?
Absolutely. So. Yes.
So, okay, let's dive into show 400. But okay. before we do, let's do this. I want to take a moment here in time. And you know, every time we get to a milestone show, we're always thanking people. Thank you for this and thank you for this. Mm-hmm. But you know, every podcast really is nothing without the people that support it. So I'm going to forget a billion people, but I just want to throw this up front at the beginning of the show. First and foremost, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't without Laura Fitz, Peter Pontecorvo, Michael Black, Carly Davis. We wouldn't be here at all. So, however, our lives have diverged and diverted over time, we wouldn't be around and we wouldn't be as popular and successful as we are without their help. So, first and foremost, thank you to those guys, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Our Instagram team, the people that supported us on Patreon, the people that post and comment on every post, download every show. I hate to even mention names because you know I'm going to forget them, right? We've got like 100.
No, you pretty much can't mention any names now.
Right? So I do want to give one special little shout out and recognition to a person. And I'm not throwing anything, any shade in anybody that if I don't mention you. But back when we first started off on like episode like 30, the very first person that took a chance on us was Scott. So from Scott Ferrioli to take a chance on us on our show as a sponsor. And then from that point forward, Scott and I have been just the best of friends. Yes. So I certainly appreciate willingness to take a chance on just a few Yahoos recording in their basement. To
now I have ABBA in my head. It's take a chance be on all day. Me.
Uh-huh. Right? Exactly. Yep. Thank you.
That can be Scott Ferrioli's theme song.
Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia. So, but for the guy who took a chance on us, and we appreciate it, and he's become, you know, my one of my closest friends, you know.
Yes. So
I want to make sure I recognize and thank him for everything. All right. So show 400 literally is ask us anything. So we were just keeping our fingers crossed that it was not going to be things that were going to put us in a really unique and vulnerable position in front of public. But
did we block JJP from that post? I can't remember.
Right. I was like, oh gosh, this is going to be really bad. This is going to be bad. Please. So we promise though, all the questions, if there is any questions, we've filtered them. We've kind of moved them to the side. We may have answered them in direct message, but we do have some good questions. But we did this. We made a promise to ourselves. We're just going to peruse the questions. We're not going to brainstorm or come up with these canned answers. So the answers we have today, they may be amateurish and they may not be completely accurate. We're just going to go with our gut reactions to the questions as we read them right now. Right, Sace? Is that pretty much
it? That sounds good. Yep.
All right. So we put them in two spots. We put our questions in EDCOT and we put them in a Patreon Facebook group that we actually playfully call the support group. So let's start off with the questions there, if you don't mind. You go first. Just find the first one that's appropriate, and then I'll go to the questions in the support group, and then we'll jump back to EDCOT. Are you cool with that?
Sure. Yep, that sounds good.
All right.
All right. So the first one that I have is from John Krull, and he says, what is your favorite nighttime show ever, and why is it Happily Ever After? So John Krull has some obvious opinions on this one here. For me, so I think I've mentioned this many, many times. I am not a huge nighttime show fan. I think it has something to do with just the inconvenience of getting there and then standing in the crowd. It just makes me a little bit uncomfortable. When I'm there, I usually do enjoy myself, I should say that. But I'm going to go a little bit left field here and say that I fell in love with World of Color at Disneyland. That both World of Color and Fantasmic at Disneyland both blew me away. And I can maybe say that that had something to do with the fact that we had the dining packages for both of those, and it was less stress of preparation, and we had designated spots. But it was just absolutely, both those shows were absolutely amazing. So that is mine.
All right. That's a very good answer, but I have nothing organized like that. First off, I want to know how John Krull with five kids is making it to nighttime spectaculars and nighttime shows. Like, those kids are tired. And what's he doing? Is he the taskmaster? It's like, I don't care if you're crying, kid. We're staying to watch this show. What is he doing? You know,
he probably parks them on a bench somewhere and is like, I'm going to be over here. You guys just stay.
I don't even care if you go back to the hotel. I'm staying. So we don't make many nighttime shows as well because we like to be there early in the morning. So that's our chosen time. But like you, Stace, I've not really ever been captured by a nighttime show, though Paint the Night in Disneyland, we actually stayed and watched a few years ago.
Maybe that's what I meant.
It was phenomenal.
What did I say?
World of Color is the water one at DCA, which is phenomenal too.
That is what I meant. World of Color is what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's phenomenal too, but paint the night over at Disneyland where everything is like in neon and illuminated, and Mac from Cars comes out, the big semi with that was phenomenal. We saw it one time, we were like, holy cow, if this thing comes to Florida, it
Oh,
literally
that's right. That's
it
a parade.
supplants
Paint the Night
everything
is a
else that
parade.
Florida has. This is the one that's the best. So I would say paint
Perfect.
the night.
Yeah. So I guess we're Disneyland fans in terms of the nighttime spectaculars.
Must be. All right, so let's go off the rails almost immediately, because that's what we do best. That's what we do better than any other Disney podcast out there today, is off the rails. Jenny Berger, is cereal a soup? Why and why not? Or why not? Is cereal a soup? You've got a grain, you've got a liquid, you've got a cr so it could be a cream-based soup, which is, so let's talk about definition. What denotes a soup in your mind?
Oh,
Let's
that's
dive in.
really, really interesting. So I think that I would. So I have to kind of go into the answer here then, because I'm going to give my answer while I'm talking about what I denote. So to me, cereal is not a soup because it has actual crunch to it. And even if it does get soggy, it was meant to have actual crunch to it. So I would say that is what the cereal that's why it's not a soup. Soup to me would be either completely smooth or cooked items inside of it,
Okay, what is
if that
that
makes sense.
special dessert that you love so much over at 1900 Park Fair? What is that called,
So
Stace?
that is strawberry soup, I
Okay.
think that's what it's called. But so that is, but it's totally smooth, so there's not any crunch to it. And everything I assume it's all pureed together, and maybe the strawberries are cooked beforehand, I don't know. But there's no like crunchy grains in it.
Okay.
A very
So
technical answer.
this, we're gonna get really technical. So there's no beef barley soup for you that has a little bit of chewy gummy texture in the barley.
But
There's
it's
no vegetable
cooked
soup.
already. So
Okay.
those things can be crunchy, but they are cooked in they're cooked either in the soup or beforehand and placed in the soup.
My new show. I
So,
love it.
yes.
All right. So the answer is obviously it's not a freaking soup, Jenny Berger. What's wrong with you? You're never coming to my house to have soup
I
or
know
cereal.
that seems like it's a little bit of twisted
Keep
thinking on
trying to
her
put us
end
in the
there.
spot. But I will say, now that you've got us going on this, right? Milk could be used as the base for soup. It
It
is
can be.
oftentimes milk or cream, right? And the grains, which are in the barley family, you've got oats, you've got wheat. It could appear in soup as well, too. So, but Jenny, no. No, I'm gonna whack you on the nose with a newspaper. I don't know why you'd even ask us that question. It
That's
is
just
not.
so silly.
It is not soup. Okay, very good. Moving on. Next question.
Okay, this is another one from John Krull, and he said, okay, serious question. What's your one bucket list item that you most want to experience?
I'll let you go first.
So I would love to do Keys of the Kingdom tour, very much. And that would be without small children with me. Well, I don't think you can have small children with that one, but
Come on, Stacy, hang on. Wait a minute. Wait a
somebody that I
minute.
don't need to take care of and that I can focus on the tour the whole time.
This is a bucket list, right? This is a bucket
Okay,
list.
that's true. This is
The
somebody I
word
can
bucket list,
accomplish.
everyone's dumbed down and be like, oh, I wish I had a hot dog
Okay.
and fries on my
You're
bucket
right.
list.
You're
Be
right.
like,
You're right. You're right. Okay, let's take that
raise the
out because
bar.
I probably will accomplish that easily at some
Raise the
point
bar,
in the
son.
next 10 years.
Dream
Okay,
bucket.
so I'm going to say an Adventures by Disney trip would be my
Okay.
bucket list. And I don't even know if I have a specific destination in mind. Probably someplace in Europe, where it's a little bit harder to get to. That would be my bucket list. Or if they did a transatlantic Disney cruise, that would
Okay.
also be a bucket list because Scott won't fly, so it's kind of hard to figure that whole thing out right now.
Two transatlantic cruises.
It would have to
Two.
be like very much back to back to back to back to back, maybe even
There you
transatlantic
go.
cruises.
There you go. All right, if I'm going bucket list, there's only one bucket list that needs to be, and that is I'm gonna own a home in Golden Oak. All right.
Nice.
I'm gonna be the one gringo amongst all the Brazilian millionaires, scratching myself early in the morning as the dogs go poop in the yard. I'm gonna be in Golden Oak. That's my bucket. If I got a bucket list and I got discretionary money to spend a lot of it, like $3 million of it, I'm gonna own a Golden Oak property.
There you go, and I'll come visit
I
after my
want
transatlantic.
the pool, where like the lounge chairs literally sit in the water. And I want that to be me, right? Listening to 80s
Yes.
rock and roll with my lounge chair in the pool. That's what
With
I
your
want.
dog right next to you.
Right? Yeah, with all my dogs. All right. Tracy McCoy. Does pineapple belong in pizza? And does pizza belong in Walt Disney World? Is any of it pizza in Walt Disney World? So that's a three-part question. A, does pineapple belong in pizza? Okay. So what do you say about that? Just pineapple on pizza.
Yes.
Freaking
Yes.
yes.
100%.
Yes. The sweet and savory combination, if it doesn't work for you, I'm sorry. It's okay. You don't have to order pizza with us. Stacy, if we're order
Exactly.
pizza, are we gonna get pineapple on pizza?
Yes.
Yes, we
For
are.
sure.
And sneak peek, yes, we will. And you'll see pictures very soon. All right,
Nice.
there we go. And does pizza belong in Walt Disney World? What do you think?
Yes. A pizza belongs
Yes,
everywhere.
right? It is. It literally should be everywhere. But is any of it actually pizza in Walt Disney World? So I think she's judging the quality of
She
pizza
is, yeah.
at Walt Disney World. So what do you
She's
think?
definitely being judgy. Yeah, and I am not a snob to pizza, so I like a good old Aldi frozen pizza just as well, probably not just as much, but it does its job. I think the Annapolis pizza is phenomenal, and I think that our Artist Palette. What is the place that's in Saratoga? The what's
It's
that? The quick
that's Artist
service.
Palette. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that is phenomenal pizza there too. But I like just the food court pizza too. Like, I mean, I probably wouldn't order it all day every day, but it like for a quick like dinner at night, it's hits the spot. So
You're right.
I think it's
Stacey,
all good.
I'm not a snob either. We joke about the New York, Chicago, New Haven, St. Louis pizza. Pizza is good. I am welcoming all pizza varieties. They are welcome at
Yep.
my house. Pizza is good. Even you're right. Even DiGiorno pizza is good,
Yes.
So is any pizza? Yep. It's all pizza and it's all delicious. And pizza Pringles. Give me a shout out for some pizza Pringles right about now,
Those are pretty good. Or pizza combos.
Oh
Those are
yeah, I
also very
agree.
good.
Agreed. All right, you're up.
All right. So Emily Marie, this is my cousin Emily. She said, if you could add anything to Disney World, what would you add? Oh, I think I would add another very well-themed hotel because I just feel like there's oftentimes not rooms available and things, and I think that's pretty needed, but I want more immersion, more theming, kind of like RIP, the Star Wars experience.
Okay.
But just as a hotel, like not as an experience, but it can be an experience type of a thing.
Gotcha.
How about you?
Well, Emily, thank you. I'm going to give you a high five when I see you next. You teed this one up for me, and I'm not letting this go. I am not freaking
Car
letting this
dealership.
go. I am not letting this go. Tamara Spidell believed in
I
me,
knew
and me and
it.
Spidell are going to run this to the end. And when Hyundai came in and threw a Disney-themed Hyundai Ioniq electric vehicle out there, did you see everyone laughed? Oh, that's so cute. Chris actually responded. But shush, you all have to sit and take it and just shush and give me credit because I called it years ago. It needs a car dealership. People will drop $40,000 on a vacation. They won't drop $40,000 on a Disney themed car. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'll buy backpacks of Dooney and Burke and Loungefly. A car would be like hotcakes. Now, the only problem is right now, Disney is literally cutting on everything. They literally
Yeah.
closed a Galactic Star Cruiser. They literally are laying off workforce. They're trying to go in and figure out where so they're not going to go and expand to a car dealership. But what would I put at Walt Disney World? Oh, yeah. A GM branded, a Hyundai branded, a Toyota branded. Disney themed car dealership. I will not let this go. This will be the hill I die in. I will die on this hill. Rick Forbes, I will die on this hill. I'm just letting you know that right now. So, all right. Tyler
Hilarious.
Lee, if you were stranded on a deserted island with any Disney character, who would you pick and why? This one seems to be fairly easy. Like, I immediately thought of the answer for this one. So, allow me to go first,
You
right?
go
Is this
first.
okay? It's
Yeah, I hope you don't
Genie.
pick mine. Okay,
It's
good. Oh, that's a very good one.
Genie. I want Genie on a deserted island. I don't know if I have to explain. I need the genie.
That's a really good one. I mean, I think there's a lot of super good answers here. I'm gonna go with Moana
Okay.
because I think that she'd be really fun to hang out with, but she's also willing to just do the stuff that I probably wouldn't want to do, like go fishing and defeat villains and stuff like that. So,
And sing.
and she would know how to like forage for food. It's a deserted island, like forage for food and build shelters and stuff like that. So she'd be pretty useful. But Genie would definitely
Right? We
win,
avoid all
I think.
that.
Yeah, you wouldn't
We
have to worry
avoid
about
all that.
anything. That
There we
was a
go.
pretty good choice. Yeah.
That was my cheat answer. All right,
Yeah,
you're
that was a
back
good
up.
one.
All right, you're up now.
Okay, the next one is I have to scroll down a little bit. Oh, from Pam Wolfing. She said, which park has the best first aid station, in your
Okay.
opinion?
Well, the only one I've ever been to, Stacey, is at Magic Kingdom. So, where have you been besides Magic Kingdoms?
I think I've been to Magic Kingdom and possibly Epcot, and I just don't have a really strong memory of either one of those, to be honest with you. But
Okay.
I've been for baby care stations, which is kind of similar. I think the Epcot's is really nice.
Okay.
I would give that one to Epcot, but I wonder, yeah, I wonder, oh my gosh, wait a minute. We were very much in Epcot's first aid station because Ethan had to actually go back to a room and have a nurse visit him when he was really dehydrated. So I'm going to give it to Epcot because we've had a good experience there.
See, Pam, what Stacey's not saying is she's literally been to every immediate care center and hospital
We have.
around Walt Disney World.
Shout out to Arnold Palmer Children's Hospital. We've been there a few times and they do top notch. Like if you have a car and you have a sick kid, don't go to the closest hospital. Go to Arnold Palmer Children's Hospital. They will take care of you really well. So.
Answer. There you go. All right. Jeremy Murray says, who are you? Described with any three Disney-owned IP characters. Now, Jeremy, I tried to brainstorm on this one just briefly, but I didn't want to come up with three, like, oh, this is the exact. You know what? On any given day, we are a mess. As human beings, we are messy, sloppy people. So, on any given day, we could be different. So I try to give a little thought to this, though I really don't have a good third answer. Kind of got two, but Stace, who would you be? Give me one. He wants three, but give me one Disney character that you would think is would describe you.
I think Anna from Frozen is definitely one that describes me. Just a little bit in my own world and most of the time in a good mood. And I married my first real boyfriend, so that's another thing in common.
Wait, okay, was he a villain? I mean, just wanted to know. No,
And
no.
okay, no. Yeah, I guess that's not really a great example, but
Just
okay,
saying.
I fell for my first real boyfriend.
There you go. All right, Murray, I got two. I'm gonna go with Hawkeye from Marvel because he doesn't need to be the person out front. And you joke about, saying the mayor and whatnot. He doesn't need to be the person out front, but he brings everyone along together. And it's more important to have the team be together and move forward. So I'm going to say Hawkeye. I'm also going to say Boulder Hat Guy from Meet the Robinsons, because though I like to think I'm a villain at heart, I'm really not that bad of a guy. And the Boulder Hat Guy, he's a great villain, but he's not really a villain. Though I guess Rick and Jamie and Murray, based on some of the direct messages and what makes me laugh, would probably disagree with that, but that's okay, So I have a weird sense of humor, Stace. Everyone should know this about me. One of the things that really makes me laugh is videos from like America's Funniest Home Videos where people end up getting accidentally hit by things, something, they'll fall, they'll hurt themselves, something like that. I could never stop laughing when I see videos like that. It is the villainous side of me that comes out. I admit it. I got no defense against that. So I would say those two for sure. And I'm working on a third. I got ideas, but I hate to even say it because then it's like, oh, that's really deep and complex. But I would say part of this, honestly, part of this might be Thanos, because
Okay.
he thinks of things pretty critically, but he also thinks of things very logically. And he tries to evaluate many steps ahead in the environment. So he's trying to go and plan these things, and there's a grand vision. I kind of say that, but that's really pretty heavy, throughout the, biggest villain in the Marvel Kingdom, you know? So maybe not so much, but there are traits of him that I think are worthwhile. Who would you say, Stace?
So I would also say Belle, just because of her love of reading and books and kind of daydreaming qualities. I won't comment again on the romantic choices that she makes, but I think that for those character qualities, that would be another one. And I'm thinking, trying to think of a good third one. I mean, I can go very cliche and say Mrs. Incredible, just for her fierce love of her family.
You got the tights.
But I do. I definitely have the outfit. But maybe I'll go with that. But I'm gonna do some more thinking on this because I'm gonna be honest, this whole situation that I've had with my surgery and everything has caused like the worst brain fog. And I still am coming out of it, and sometimes it's hard for me to think on the spot like this. So I'm gonna do some more thinking on this, and maybe we can come back to it on
A
a
later
later
show.
show. Yeah,
Well, this is an interesting
that's a really
question
good question.
because the question is, how do you think you are seen by somebody else versus how do you want to be seen versus,
Exactly.
what is the perception you want to put out for yourself? So that's why
Yes.
it's like I think logically, and so you're thinking, Chris, you just thought you're like the world's biggest villain, but you're not. Well, but there are
Right.
things about me, that like I relate to how they might categorize
Yes.
things,
This
but
might be like
also.
an actual, a really good show to really dive into different parts of our personality. Because it's like those things that you see on Facebook where it's like how I think I appear to be, how others think I appear to me, how I actually am, what the reality is. Like, I think that would be fun to kind of do that for ourselves with different characters. So I think that that deserves maybe a little bit more than just a quick thing. But those are my three quick ones off the cuff, but I think it deserves some more thought.
Gotcha. Would you say you're more like Walt or more like Roy? Walt was the dreamer. And Roy was the more of the let's get the nuts and bolts put together. What would you say you're more
Oh,
like?
I am not the dreamer, I don't think. So I think that I am definitely better at being given a task and then accomplishing that task. Like I think I do very, very well when somebody just tells me what I need to do, then I can usually follow through quickly on that. But it's weird because being a teacher, I do have the creativity. But oftentimes I try not to reinvent the wheel. So it's, like taking what somebody else has done already and trying to improve upon that is easier for me. So I'm saying I'm probably a little bit more like Roy. How about you?
Well, okay, but I'm going to also give you credit though. We all are kind of critical on ourselves, but then so little peek behind the curtain, I guess it's show 400, right? We'll have sessions where we text back and forth a direct message and be like, hey, got any show ideas for the next 10 shows? And you're like, okay, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this. Because, I mean, you try to keep things fresh and moving along. When you've recorded 400 episodes, there's a lot you've talked about already. And you've always come up with really good ideas. And sometimes we'll refer back to you for like months and be like, oh, yeah, you hit like 17 suggestions. So let's pick that one and go with that today. So it's hard. I don't think anybody can really be identified as just one label or another. I'm sure Walt
True.
had nuts and bolts in his mind to figure out how things were. And I'm sure Roy said to Walt one day, hey, you know what would be really cool over here? And so I'm sure there was some crossover. I think we both kind of have crossover between ideas
Absolutely.
and then saying, okay, hang on, wait a minute, logistically. Like, for example, when we were talking about Instagram and we were talking about the recording of, you were like, okay, let's streamline this. We both have carryover to those categories. So
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I think a little half. I think 50-50. I think I sometimes run away with ideas, or once I start going down the tracks, any of my friends that reel me in, and then other ones
Yes.
I would poke ideas at, so. But we're gonna get back to you, Murray. I'm gonna stick with Hawkeye. All right. That's what I'm gonna stick with. All right, buddy. All right, you're next.
All right. So Bill Mitchell said, "What is your favorite podcast besides The Dubs, and why is it Monorail Tales?" So Bill is obviously a host of the Monorail Tales. We do love the Monorail Tales, but I'll go besides The Dubs, the Monorail Tales.
Now this is a podcast. This is not an audiobook, so you got to pull up a
I
podcast
know
here.
that is my big problem. I used to be much more into a wider array of podcasts than I am now. And a lot of the ones that I used to listen to are no longer available. So I'll give a shout out to our Be Our Guests podcast family. I especially love listening at post marathon weekend and listening to like the running episodes and things like that. But like just like kind of mainstream podcasts, I haven't really dived too deep into other, because I do listen to a lot of audiobooks. And but I probably will go in waves and eventually get back to podcasts in the future. But
I'm going to go with Travels with Rick Steves.
oh yeah.
So as the travel host from PBS, Rick Steves has got over 700 episodes out, plus his TV shows, plus his public
Wow.
speaking, plus his books.
Yeah, I love
But
the TV shows.
he does a great job of keeping it fresh. And it's not just like, hey, here is Warsaw, from Poland. And like eventually he started, going to talk about like politics and then food and then but dealing with how the relationships of these countries, and it forms your opinion. He's always preached, travel, cast the widest world view, and it helps open up your thoughts on a lot of things. So I am a big fan of Travels with Rick Steves. Depending on the day, you could visit Puerto Rico to Japan and whatnot. But yeah, no, he's an incredibly intelligent, incredibly insightful, and moral human being, and I just find his podcast to be great. So
That's good.
that's my pick. You missing the JJP question from Bill Mitchell.
I skipped that one on purpose.
Okay, let's go back to that one. Okay, go ahead, hit it. I want you to read that one, please.
All right, I guess I'll read it. Bill Mitchell also said, "What up with that JJP guy?" And then Chris Malik said, "We only have 1 hour,"
Yeah.
which is
So
very true.
here's up with this is what's up with that JJP guy. If you just joined our Facebook groups, you will see posts and you'll probably scratch your head and say, "What? What?" And if it's not his weekly, daily trolling of Disney Food Blog, which makes us
Oh
just
gosh,
laugh,
which is the best?
it is the best. What's up with that JJP guy? Here's what's up with him. He's about the most loyal friend you'll ever meet, and he's one of the best dudes around. You just have to be willing to get past that first moment of
Yes.
head scratch. And then when you get to meet him, like there was only one other dude that I ended up meeting at Katie Kroll's wake. It was Jamie. We hit it off again. Like we hadn't missed any time together, like seeing my long lost brother. And we
Yes.
talked for hours just amongst ourselves. So what's up with him? Nothing. I wish there was more like him.
I know he has so many levels. Like, yeah, it's so many, not levels, layers.
Layers. He's like an onion. He's like an onion.
I was like levels, and
Brain
I was like
fog.
video games,
Brain
video
fog.
games, video games, layers, onion.
He's like an onion. All right. Amy says, what is your favorite 80s sitcom, Stacey?
Okay, this one I can answer very quickly. Mr. Belvedere was my favorite one. There's so many though. There's so many more, but every time anybody asks me that, that's the one that pops to my head
Mr.
immediately. I love
Belvedere.
that show. Yeah. The
Wow.
theme song, the show, the characters, I loved it.
Everything. Man, I'm gonna be like on a just a rant here. Is it Magnum PI? Is it A-Team? Is it Night Court? Is it Perfect Strangers? Is it MASH from the 70s?
Elf.
Or is it ALF? Is it Married with Children? Is it The Simpsons? They're all so good.
Those so
There was so
many.
much good TV writing back then. It was obviously canned audience and whatnot and the laugh track, but it was so good.
And I
So yeah,
think that
I
the thing is with it too is that it was timed. So if you were doing something on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, you couldn't go and stream it at 10:30. Like, you really had to be loyal to these shows in order to watch them. So
Right.
I think that there's something to be said about that, about missing out. You don't want to miss out on something. And I miss that. Like, I really miss having to wait for something
Yeah.
to view it. Like, it makes it so much richer, I think.
And now with everything on like the streaming networks, you think, oh, well, you got access to it. It's just a little different now. You're right. I
Yes.
absolutely agree with you on there. But what is your favorite Amy, oh my gosh, I could literally write a book on this. There are so many good ones. So I mentioned a few. I'm sure I left more out and I'll regret it later on. You're up.
All right. So Chris Young said, I never get my responses back to you in time for the shows. So today I'm making up for lost time. I'll approach these questions from the non-Disney aspect of things. Feel free to choose or combine. So we'll take this in parts maybe. Mm-hmm. Excluding Disney related properties, what does your ideal vacation look like? Location, activities, etc.
Okay. So we want to take them individually then, Stace?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So excluding a Disney vacation is how I'm picking this up. My ideal vacation would literally be just time spent relaxing, but there'd be an itinerary every day of one function every day, followed by a really nice meal out, but no pressure, no timetables. If you wanted to go here, we go here. It would probably be in a warm weather. It wouldn't be in the mountains. It wouldn't be in snow. It wouldn't be in cold weather. It wouldn't be in the woods hiking, though I do enjoy that. It would be in the warm weather, just relaxing with the family. It would be with other friends that had a similar idea. It wouldn't be parks open to close. It certainly wouldn't be my ideal vacation, you know, going to the beach. But there'd be one relaxed option every day with one really nice meal, grocery shopping, just like normal life, but laid back. You know, that's my ideal version of vacation.
That, like, actually, that you could take those words. I could take those words right out of your mouth. Like, that is perfect answer. Like, I think mine would be probably near the ocean, mm-hmm. Just so that a beach could be part of each day. But my family isn't all about that. We could not spend a vacation where we're on the beach all day long. Mm-hmm. And that's just not us. But like some sort of a historic town or something nearby that we can go and do activities, and then just relax at the house or whatever property we were staying at, go get ice cream in the evenings, sit outside, maybe like around a fire pit or something like that. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of similar to vacations that we take outside of Disney already. Just, you know, Disney vacations are very go, go, go. Our other vacations usually are, let's explore a little bit more. So,
yeah. Life's changed. You know what? You don't need a whole lot to make you happy on things like that. You just need, right. You know, just some nice weather, some, you know, it's changed. It's become simple in a way. And right. That's a great question. All right. Part two of his question is, what is your number one bucket list trip? Again, excluding Disney related properties. What is your bucket list trip?
Mine, it would definitely be a transatlantic cruise. It's like I said earlier, Scott doesn't like flying. He said he will fly for me to go to Europe one day. But if we could, you know, have a lot of money and we could take one of these, there's like a Royal Caribbean cruise, I think, that's like 286 days long or something crazy like that. Transatlantic. And that would be so much fun. Like I wish that we could do something like that one day. But otherwise, something in Europe. I'd love to visit Sweden or all the Scandinavian countries and just tour that. And there's just so much that I want to see in the world.
Yeah, Europe's got a lot of great destinations. But I would say for me right now, it's Japan. My family's been enamored with like Japan travel vlogs when we watch YouTube at nighttime. And I think the kids would really be into a trip over to Japan. So the airfare alone is cost prohibitive for five, but I have a feeling in the next few years, I'll probably save up and pinch pennies and make that happen. But I would think Japan would be the number one bucket list trip. All right. And then the third one, if you could take your Epcot family on one trip, either to some place you previously visited or on a brand new adventure, what would it be? So this is saying the group. Where would we go with the group, Stace, if we had to bring
it? I think kind of like what we said in the first answer would be what I would say. Someplace where we can have space to roam and also space together to just have fun for a good part of the day. Mm-hmm. I would envision just a lot of like we did at Scott Farioli's barbecue on the first Epcot family vacation, just like sitting around a pool, you know, eating snacks, having drinks, and just kind of laughing and chatting. I wouldn't want to go someplace where we always have to be listening or seeing something, because then that limits the time that you have to actually spend together bonding. Mm-hmm. So it would have to be a lot of just kind of down hangout time. I don't care where, just, you know, someplace where there's space to do those things.
I got it in my mind. Here's the answer that I got. We're going to go camping. All right. Maybe not even with trailers. I know the Bachmans are like, oh, we got this camper, Trailer Sam. How about we all meet in a centralized location, right? We throw together 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 families. We all got our tents. We have a camp out at nighttime. Listen to me. Just go with me. Go with me here. It'll be a nice place. It'll be a nice place. We got camping. We got fireplaces. S'mores. You got cookouts. You got fishing. You got horseback riding. You got like softball, volleyball. You got each other just hanging out with no itinerary every day for like 4 or 5 straight days, letting the kids play together, going swimming in the pool, going in the lake. It would sound like a lot of fun, you know.
That would be really fun, but I want to rent an RV.
Okay, like, you know, you can do that. You can be all snobby and such. You can be all high in the hog.
Whoever wants to come in out of their tent to come and sleep on our couch or something.
I get it. The tent was a little bit of a downer, so we have to figure out a place we can put all those together, kind of like the version of Edcot Villages, but the mini summertime.
Yes.
No major plans, just hanging out.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah,
you know, just something to relax. All right. Chris Young, this boy was working hard this day. He's got a few more. You believe this? We better rifle through this. Chris Young, my goodness. All right. If you had to choose between him. I'll go with this one. You go with the next one.
You do it.
If you had to choose between a meal at your favorite Walt Disney World restaurant with a family member or significant other, or a meal with a bunch of your Edcot family at a chain restaurant in your hometown, which would you choose? So a meal with your family, or a meal at a chain with a bunch of your friends, and I'm assuming family at that point too as well. Which would you pick?
Oh, for sure, the Edcot family at a chain. I like chains. I mean, that's what I know because we've had lots of kids. That would be the most fun, I think.
Yep, community first. That's what I think. Yep. You know, and exactly. The family's coming along with me in the community, so they're there.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
All right.
All right. All right. If you had to vote 3 members of the Edcot community off the island.
Oh, my God.
Okay, no. He said, okay, off the island, which 3 would it be and why? Okay, just kidding. Wanted to imagine you all squirming. I was squirming because I haven't read these questions in a long time, and I forgot this one was in here.
3 community members got to get voted off the island.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, I would Chris. Pick that one guy that never posted, that other person. That no, not even them. I would feel guilty voting anybody off.
All right. Here's who I'm voting off the island. I'll give you an answer. I'm voting Chris Malik. I'm voting Stacy Nyman, and I'm voting Scott Nyman off the island.
And all right.
That's who I'm voting off the island. You want to know why? Because we'll do our own thing, but also because we see the relationships that have been established. And it's going to maintain itself without us.
I love it. Oh, that's a good answer.
So that's who I'm voting off.
Very good answer. I like it. You can
take that, Chris Young. Take that. All right. If you were given a set amount of money, say $30,000 to purchase DVC, what resort would you select and why? Also, would you purchase direct or resale? Okay. So if you had to purchase, let's just break this down easier. If you had to buy DVC right now, would you buy resale or new, Stace?
I would definitely buy resale, and that is only because we already have the blue card. Okay. You know, we bought a small contract direct a long time ago. So,
and where are you buying?
Okay, and I'm going to buy. Oh, this is a really good question. My gut answer is always Bay Lake Tower. Because that was our first ever DVC stay. We rented points, and that was what made us fall in love with DVC. Mm-hmm. But that's always my gut reaction. But I think that my brain reaction is saying Beach Club, just because of the location. But then, of course, and I start thinking to myself, well, then it has a shorter contract and all that stuff. But I'm just going to say Beach Club is renewing its contract in my head. They're going to be going forever. I'm going Beach Club.
That a girl. I'm going resale 100%, and I'm going the Villas at Grand Californian. Because if you've not been there,
that's a good one.
If you've not been there, there's nothing like it. and you can't buy it, and it's impossible, and it's
No.
expensive as all get out. And I'm going to
Yes.
Disneyland every third year or every second year. That's my guarantee to
Yeah, and then
myself
you
then.
can always find some, you can always find another, if you wanted to go to Florida, you can find something there.
Right. There you
That's a
go.
good one.
All right,
Man, you come up
you got
with the good
Cindy's.
answers.
Chris Young, you spent a lot of time on this, so we're done with Chris's.
All right, Cindy Ellicott said, if there were going to be a Stacy or Chris land at Disney, what would be the inspiration behind that land? Oh gosh, for me, it would have to be super cute. I'm very attracted to all things like pink and glittery and cute and sweet. So I mean, yeah, that it would just be all cotton candy. Like no Marvel fan would ever want to enter foot into my land.
Into your realm?
I
No. Okay.
know. It's or very much like Wreck-It Ralph, like the candy, like that would be perfect.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Mine's based on the care emoji. Everything involves the care emoji for
Yeah.
me.
Well, you can come to my land then, Chris. That would be
Right?
like that would be the emoji of my land, the
Right?
care
Okay.
emoji.
No, but seriously, I got an answer for you. Many shows ago, I had an idea. We were doing, hey, think of your favorite resort and like come up with a new idea. And I came up with the idea of doing something essentially that is like Thanksgiving in like 13 counties every single day. Like it would be like pilgrims and like Thanksgiving feast, and it would be like America back in like 1780. You know, it'd be like just the start of the country. So if you hit a new land, which would be like Liberty Square. I know that you were thinking of Chris, Liberty Square, a bigger version of Liberty Square. I think you could actually tie in the basics of what Edcot was, which sorry, Epcot, which is, you know, discovery and knowledge and education and entertainment, and you could create a land based on that. So that's what not based on me, but what my interest would be. So
That's cool. Yeah, that would be like a lot of living history things
yeah.
going on.
With a lot of care emojis too.
You'd probably really like Plymouth Plantation if you ever got out there to Massachusetts.
I'm sure it'd be
It
awesome.
was very fun.
Cool. All right. So we got Tracy again. What ride would you like to see a character overlay added to? Okay. There's a bunch of them here. What ride should they never touch? What ride or attraction would you want to spend the night in? Worst, best place for a ride to be stuck? Craziest thing you've ever seen in the park. So let's break those down quickly. Okay. So
Okay.
what ride would you like to see a character overlay added to, Stace?
Okay. I would really love to see Space Mountain turned Star Wars, similar to like they do at Disneyland, but m more intense in
Okay.
terms of like de the decorations and stuff.
I'd like to see the Walt Disney World Railroad have different areas of the actual park be themed differently. The railroad would go through Tarzan's village at one moment, and then over here it would go through this person's theme. I think you can do a lot with it, and I think it would take away some of the crowd from some of the other attractions. So I'm gonna go with the Walt Disney World Railroad. All right. Which ride should they never ever touch, Stace?
I would not like to see Soarin' changed into anything to do with characters.
Okay. I would say the Pirates of the Caribbean, but that's already happened. So I will just freeze Pirates as it is right now and say Pirates as it is right now. And I'm okay with the change for Red, but like I'd like to see Pirates retain the version that it is right now. Okay. What
Okay.
ride or attraction would you want to spend the night in?
Oh, this is a really difficult one. Do you want to go first so I can think for a second?
You want a second, huh? Okay,
I
so let me
do.
think. What ride or attraction would I like to spend the night in? I'm gonna go with the boat on Living with the Land
Oh.
at one of the hydroponic areas where you can see the stars. The clear geodesic dome, you know. That's where I
That is
go.
really good. That is a really good one. I'm going to go with, oh, this is just so difficult. This is such a difficult one. This is where the brain fog is really kicking in right now. Cause I'm like,
Stacy's gonna go with the
what attractions
Gravitron.
are at Walt Disney World? I can't even think of what they have there. I'm gonna go with Pirates. But I'd want an like a boat that just has a that's doesn't have any seats in it, so I can have a mattress to lay down on and
The
just kind
handicap
of
accessible
float
boat,
through.
Stace. The handicap
There you go.
accessible boat,
That's
right?
what I want. That's what I want. And I just want to just float through.
With
Maybe
your
I can
inflatable
turn on the
mattress.
audio when I want it on, and then just otherwise just kind of look around as I go along. Although without the audio, it might be a little bit creepy. It would be
Okay,
very
well,
much like
it would be
that
very
book,
creepy,
those
Stace.
books. Yeah, it would
It's
be.
very creepy. Worst and best. Let's just go with worst. Worst place for a ride to be stuck. Where do you think?
I've thought of this as I've been on certain attractions, and the one that I've thought about the most is on Haunted Mansion. When you're going, if you're going down,
Backwards,
like, yes. So
right?
either back, or there's another spot where you're kind of tipping forward. Because like if you're backwards, at least you're laying backwards. But like there's certain times when it's turning and you're kind of tipped forward a little bit, I think. And I've always thought to myself that would stink to get stuck like this. You'd be so uncomfortable.
Okay, that's valid. So for me, I can't think of a lot of spots, but it'd have to be an uncomfortable ride position, like a train or a car that's just uncomfortable. Though I fit, I'm gonna go and put myself in Murray's perspective right here, and I would say anywhere on the Seven Dwarves mine train, because I know Murray's got a
Oh
hard time.
yeah.
You just it's uncomfortable for those big dudes, you
Yeah.
know? All right.
Exactly.
Last one, craziest thing you've seen in the park. So, craziest thing you've seen other people do in the park.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I've seen some crazy things, but nothing really sticks out to me. The only thing I can think is when we were in the queue for Haunted Mansion one time, and we were surrounded by a fraternity, and they were really, really loud and like throwing drinks at each other and like dump like there was a it was on a really crowded day, and we had to go down below for the queue, and there were people up above who were they were dumping water on people's heads, and that's probably the craziest I can think of, but
I
that's not
think
super crazy.
Tracy's going for that book, The Dark Side of Disney, where she
I
hopes
think
maybe
so too.
stumble upon people behind the tree or something like that. But I agree with you. I've seen a lot of bad behavior. I've seen a lot of bad parent behavior, a
Right,
lot of
that's kind
bad,
of what I'm thinking, yeah.
a lot of parents having blowout reactions. They've spent their 8 hours in the parks and they're just done and it comes out badly. I've seen that. I've seen a lot of bad kid behavior without parent correction. Which as
Right.
a dad of three, it's like I want to smack your kid and I'm gonna smack you harder for not resolving that situation. I've seen that. I have seen a lot of bad guest behavior, a lot of entitled behavior, and that's always frustrating. But I can't say I've seen anything where it's like, oh my God, they're drinking a fifth of gin. I can't say I've seen that. I know it exists. I'm not dumb. The water bottles aren't quite water bottles, but I've not seen anything along that. But I have definitely seen parent, kid. Okay, so recently with Scott, I don't know if did I tell you this? We were walking. I was walking on the boardwalk, the Crescent Lake loop, and right by the water slide over at the beach club, there was a couple, and they were unique. Just by the looks of them, they were unique. It wasn't quite one that you would think, oh, they would be attracted to each other. And they were having it out. They were having it out on the cart path. They didn't care who was walking by them. They didn't care if there were kids there. They were going to have it at this moment. And even when I walked by, I kind of like, your eyebrow was like, uh-oh, as you walk by quickly, they were just letting it fly. And I mean, there were a couple profanities laced in there, and I was like, yikes, this is a stressful situation right here, people. So I would say that might have been about be it, because they didn't care who was walking by. They were going to have it at each other. All right, you're up. Got only a few more.
Okay. Because I don't make enough stuff about me, you have to take me, the double JP, to Walt Disney World. So this is JJP's. You have to spend the night with me in one resort and then accompany me to one park and experience an attraction with me and eat a meal with me in the park. What are you picking? And then he said, winner gets to actually treat me to that. So I wish you,
Okay.
if you wouldn't have put that last part in there, then I would have been way more creative than I'm probably going to be.
You got him. You're literally like his chauffeur, his valet,
His baby, his babysitter.
Jeez Louise, you got to spend a night with me in one resort. All right. Which is weird. All right. Okay, fine. Then accompany me to one park and experience an attraction with me and eat a meal with me. All right. So
All right,
this is,
I'm gonna go with
Yeah, do it.
I'm gonna go with the DVC resort, and we're gonna get a 2-bedroom DVC room so that we can each have our own room in the resort. Because I can close my door if I need
Right.
to.
Okay.
An attraction. I do like JJP. So I'm gonna say we're gonna go on It's a Small World, so that
Okay.
we can ooh and ah at wonder at all of the different things that we see. And I am taking him to a character meal, and I think I'm going to take him to Akershus so we can experience all that is princess together, and I can watch him eat the Norwegian delicacies and see his
Okay.
reaction to those.
Nice. Nice. You know what? No matter how you cut it, it's going to be good, right?
Exactly.
So I agree
It'll
with
be a
you.
fun it'll be a fun day.
Stacy, money's no object. I've got money. I got so much money, I don't even know what to do with it anymore. I'm so rich. And so JJP's going to get some of this money. We're going to go to the Grand Floridian. I'm going to tell you what. We're going to get the freaking honeymoon suite. I'm getting the honeymoon suite at the Grand
Nice.
Floridian. I don't care if it's one bed. I don't care if it's one bed. I don't care if it's just one twin bed. We're going to get the honeymoon suite.
I would hope that the honeymoon suite would not have one twin bed,
That would
and they
suck,
do.
wouldn't it? That would
I
really
mean,
suck. One twin bed. All right, we're gonna go to the Grand Floridian. All right, but then we're gonna go to Epcot. I'm gonna take him to Epcot, and I tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna go on the Frozen attraction, just because I like the Frozen attraction, right? So we're gonna go on the Frozen attraction, but then we're going back to the Grand Floridian because I'm taking him Victoria and Albert's,
Oh
and we're
man.
going to the chef's table because there's nothing that's too good for my buddy JJP. We're gonna stay in the fanciest. We're gonna eat the best. We're gonna go on the Frozen attraction.
I like it.
Right? There you go. I can't
You
preach you
win.
that. I can't treat you. Rick Forbes says, "Does these pants make my butt look good?" Real nice, Rick. As a professional podcaster, that's the question you've asked? No, oh my God. Rick Forbes, also special credit and shout out for being one of the best guys I know, volunteering for
Yes.
anything I ever ask for, and just being my sounding, essentially he is my sounding board to every other issue I have in my life. So Rick, amongst everybody else that I said we wouldn't be here, I wouldn't personally be here without your help and your friendship at this point.
I love
So I
it.
wanted to say that.
He's pretty great.
He is pretty great. Stacy, I got some questions for you. All right. Sprite or
Yes.
7-Up? What is that? Give me an answer.
I'm going Sprite.
Ketchup on a hot dog.
Yes, but also mustard and tomatoes.
Is hot dog a sandwich?
It is.
Okay, so the actual hot dog is an actual sandwich in your mind. I just want to make sure I understand that, correct?
Okay, the hot dog on a bun is a sandwich. If it was a hot dog by itself, it's not a sandwich.
Okay, last question. What is your favorite non-Disney vacation destination? Where are you going?
That was Andrea's, and I really love I loved our LA trip that we took. We drove out to LA, and we did have some Disney involved, but even if we didn't have Disney involved in that, I would still love to do that trip again. Getting through Nebraska and everything was a little bit tough, but once we got into Colorado, it was just so many memories were made on that road trip. And I love touring the Southern California area and then driving back through Arizona and everything. So I would do that trip again in a heartbeat, even if it didn't have Disneyland involved in
Awesome.
it.
I remember following along, and like the first night you got through Iowa, and then you stayed like at I remember following along your adventures, and I was like, boy, they are up for a challenge here, And then you met your friends in Colorado, and you took that northern pass with the mountains, and I was like, what an awesome adventure this is,
It was really, and I would love to spend more time in just the desk, going on a journey and spending a day or two in each of those places, and exploring a little bit more and spending more time at the Grand Canyon on the way home. But like I think the highlight of that trip too, or one of the highlights, was on the way home stopping at Marceline to see the Disney Museum and everything. That was just so much fun. I know that, I guess it's technically Disney related, but I mean, it's very Disney related, but just off the beaten path. And it was just a trip full of so many memories.
Nice. The city of Paris captured my heart when we went with the family. It was wonderful. The way that you are able to visit and tour, it is just like what I said. You would just literally say, I'm going to start walking in that direction, and whatever cathedral and attraction I come across, because I have my attractions pass, I'm just going to walk into. So you would just start walking, and you'd walk 4 or 5 miles in that direction and turn around and come home. You might do 30,000 steps a day, but you're eating the best French food, you're picking up crepes, you're picking up snacks, you're buying souvenirs, and like just a way to see a city that has, you know, historic roots and ancient roots in these churches and cathedrals, which are 1,000 years old. You know, it's just amazing that you're walking in it. It captured my heart. I know Lisa and I, if I'm lucky, blessed enough to live into retirement, would like to spend time actually exploring it deeper and longer. So, yeah, the city of Paris. That's what I think. So,
Love it. Love it. That's great.
all right. So, you know what? We're going to go and bring this to a close here. But then, if you are interested in hearing all about Stacy's, you know, adventures, in air quotes,
Adventures in healthcare.
right? And everything, because, you know, there were a lot of things that went on with your family, you know, through the last, through, you know, 3 months. I'd like to hear everything. But if you don't want to follow along, we understand. We appreciate you joining us. If you've walked the road with us at any point for 400 episodes, we are so grateful. We would not be here without
Yes,
you.
thank you.
At any contribution you've given us emotionally, nothing financially, but emotionally with support, we couldn't do it. And you know, if our roads diverge, it's all good. If you come back, it's all good. We appreciate you spending a little time with us. So for that,
Yes.
we are so thankful. So for my co-host Stacy, who I'm so glad to see back on with me, and for myself, whether thank you. We want to wish you a great day.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much.
We're an hour into it.
That was
Let's hear,
perfect. That was
let's
great.
hear, let's hear, let's just go right into it. Let's hear
All right,
all
let's
the
go into
skinny about your life.
it.
So let me set the table for you, okay? Because I want to hear everything. You go in for an operation because you're having issues with your abdominal muscles literally poking through, and you need to go and solve that because your life, honestly, Stacey, you're dealing with pain constantly. You're dealing with a miserable living condition. So you are undergoing, and I don't even want to say it's an elective operation because it really is essential, but it's an elective operation that's essential. You know, it's a double negative. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Yes.
Take it.
So
Take
it's
it then from here.
so
There we
like
go.
it so I made the decision. I lost a lot of weight, had 4 really big babies, and just had a lot of excess skin. So that's the first part that was, and I'll just be very candid here. It was the first part that was what's always been in my mind, that I want to take care of this excess skin. Just to paint a picture, like I couldn't wear a swimsuit because unless I had compression shorts underneath it with a skirt over it, like just it was a lot of problems because the skin would hang through the leg of the swimsuit. Like I couldn't wear shorts that were shorter basically right above my knee because there would be a chance that the skin would peek through the shorts when I sat down. So just a lot of confidence issues that I had that I was always super uncomfortable about, always checking myself, always just I could never just feel comfortable in my own body. So that's kind of number one. And then number two about, and it's been like, I can't believe it's been this long, probably 4 years ago, I started having daily pain at work. If I, from sitting in my chair for, more than just a couple of hours, it would just be a slow ache in my abdomen that would build and build and build to the point where at night then I would have to just kind of lay back and then it would subside until the next day it would start all over again. It was never anything that was, causing me to cry or, super pain, but it was just really uncomfortable for, most of the day. Went to lots of doctors. They couldn't find anything. Did all every test imaginable, MRIs, CT scans, ultrasounds, like, and they just never could find anything. Went to physical therapy and chiropractic care for a good year and a half to try. I did everything I could to try to, improve this situation. And then finally, I was at Orange Theory doing a workout one time, and I realized that everybody else around me could do sit-ups. I couldn't sit up without like something on my feet. And then that was even a struggle for me to sit up. And I went to talk to the instructor. I was like, how can I improve this? I can't sit up. And she's like, you're very strong. She's like, you, how many kids have you had? How big were they? She's like, I think that your abdominal muscles are probably not engaging, because of your body and how your body is right now. And that was like the first light bulb moment that I had. So I eventually went to go see a plastic surgeon to talk about mostly the skin removal, and he checked the separation in my abdomen. And he said, yeah, I have a pretty major separation of my abdominal muscles. They don't engage, and that's why I can't engage my core. I can't do things like sit-ups. And that's likely what has been causing me the daily pain as well. So had the surgery. My situation was most people get a tummy. It was a tummy tuck that I got. And the maddening thing about this is that insurance paid for the skin removal and liposuction. So they paid for what I consider cosmetic situations. Like obviously the skin was causing me confidence issues. It was also causing other issues with mobility and stuff, especially with running. So they paid for that. They did not pay for the muscle repair, which was the actual, physical part of my body that was causing me pain. Like why don't they pay for that? Anyway, we were lucky that they paid for most of it anyway. So it was deemed a medically necessary surgery. I got it done. Most people only get the bikini line when they do a tummy tuck. They do the incision along the bikini line, remove the skin, pull everything tight, and that's that. Mine was a little bit of a tricky situation where he wanted to give me much better body contour. So he ended up doing a vertical line and a horizontal line. So I had, if you, it looks like an inverted T, the scar that I have. So he did that after the surgery. He's like, everything looks really good. You're going to be really happy with the results. Stayed overnight, went home, and for about 10 days, everything was the way it should be. I had drains in, went to my doctor's appointments to check the drains. Everything was draining as it should be.
We recorded a show, kid. We recorded a show right after your
And
surgery. That
I don't
that's how
even
good you were
remember that.
doing. That's
I
how good
don't
you were
even remember
doing.
that, Chris. Like I'm like, I don't even remember. So and this is where it starts getting real fuzzy for me. Like the first 10 days I was okay. I was kind of still like, I'm not feeling great, but I was okay. And then the day we were going to record a show, another show, all of a sudden I started feeling really bad, like body aches, fever, chills, like just I felt horrible. I went to the bathroom and was like, something doesn't. I went to the bathroom to take a shower. Something was not like I took off my abdominal binder. I was like, something's not right here. It was just real, everything was sore and tender. And then I was like, feeling like I was going to faint. So went up going to the emergency room and I was admitted for an infection. They got me, I mean, I've never been to an emergency room where they took me immediately back to a room. Like there was probably a good 100 to 150 people in that waiting room at that emergency room. It was insane. And they took me straight back. And there was one point in the evening where I feel like I was unconscious. I could hear what was happening, but I couldn't open my eyes or respond. So I could hear Scott saying, like he was panicking, like, Stacy, Stacy, open your eyes, open your eyes. I couldn't do it. Could not open my eyes. It took a nurse getting right in my face and screaming at me to open my eyes. And then I finally was able to like force myself to open my eyes. Scott said that there were nurses in there like taking the IV bag and just squeezing it as hard as they could to try to get more fluids into me at that point. So it was really scary. It was like super scary for Scott. They thought that I was had sepsis. And so I was admitted, strong IV antibiotics. I went home at that point. I think I was in there for 5 days. I
Hang on, please.
got
Let me pause you for a second. In case you're listening and you're not really sure, sepsis essentially is you're poisoning your body from the inside out, and then it eventually hits the organs and it shuts everything down. Sepsis is not messing around. Sepsis is really bad, really freaking bad. So I
Thankfully, I
was
did
wondering.
not have that.
Yeah,
But
I
I
was
think
going
it
to say
was
sepsis is
you
really
think
bad.
this is you
So.
think that there's something going on with everything. So I went home, and it was, I mean, I don't know how much I should say, but like we took the dressings off to take my first shower at home, and there was just a lot of fluid leaving my
Okay.
body at that point. I went back to the doctor the next day to get everything checked on again, and they just kind of put the dressings back on, and I went home. Probably 3 days later, I removed the dressings again, and everything had opened completely wide open. And it was at the area where the two incisions met. So basically, right below my belly button, there was an enormous opening. And so sent pictures to the doctor, and that's when they ordered the wound vac to start. And that was probably like late March, I would say that was around that time.
Damn,
And
so
so,
30 days post-operation, you're not closed up from your wound yet at this
yeah,
point. Okay.
right. And I mean, it might have been a little bit earlier than that. I just time, like I said, time is just so I don't remember very much at all. It was just day after day after day of the same, just kind of fogginess. And so got the wound back, and I'm gonna say there was enormous amounts of pain this entire time. It was thankfully most of the wound was actually dead skin and numb, just because of just the nature of the surgery with damaging the nerves and stuff for the incision. So that was good, but the surrounding areas and everything was just it was a lot of pain, and I really worked hard to not take painkillers each day, just because not because I wanted to be strong, but I'm afraid of addiction. So I didn't want to continuously take Norco, which is the drug that actually worked for me in terms of not making me too sleepy and stuff, because I know how highly addictive it was. So I would only take those on the days of my wound vac change, which is 3 days a week. I would take one Norco. Otherwise, it was just Tylenol and Advil. So it was just a lot of getting through pain each day, a lot of weakness. So that went on for quite a while, just wound vac changes, doctor's appointments, everything was stable. It was healing very slowly, and every time I went to the doctor, they were just like, "We just don't know why you're not progressing as quickly." They thought originally it was gonna be 4 weeks on the wound vac. They're like, "It's just not healing, so we're just gonna keep on going with this." And then I'm trying to think of where I was. So just going through. Oh, and then all of a sudden, like there were two new spots when they were changing the wound back, when they removed the dressing that were leaking fluid, and it was real gunky and yucky and didn't smell great. But two brand new spots. So we ended up getting those two spots cultured, and those two spots came back as four really nasty infections in those two spots. So this was unfortunately like the day before my dad passed away. So in all this, my dad also passed away suddenly, and so I had that cultured, I think, the day before. Maybe it was the day after. It was right around that time, I can't remember. But while we were up at the funeral, we found out that those spots came back with really nasty infections. Now, the good news is that they believe that they were surface infections. Like it hadn't gotten into my bloodstream or anything like that, they didn't think. So they just put me on some antibiotics, went along with the funeral. Everything was okay. I got home after the funeral and I felt really bad. Like I started getting fever again, chills, body aches. They directly admitted me into the hospital. I just went straight there and they got me in. And I think I was there for another 4 days with infection. Thankfully, they still did not show anything entering into my bloodstream. So it was still all surface level infection. But they think that I got in very early before that kind of progressed into anything. And another round of antibiotics, a round of very strong home antibiotics that like knocked me out for a good week. And at that point, after those went through, I felt it was night and day difference. Like the day after I finished the home antibiotics, the fog lifted. I felt like I wanted to start doing things. I didn't have any pain anymore. 2 days later, they took the wound back off and it had healed like a lot. Like it was noticeably smaller, the wound. So obviously some sort of infection was festering for weeks and weeks and weeks and just kind of delaying everything. and causing a lot of pain and stuff. And just so grateful that that finally cleared up. And I'm feeling just so much better now. I still get really tired and I'm still not very strong. I mean, 3 months kind of laying around is going to do that to anybody, but I think there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel now. I feel like it's going to be, things are going to improve every day. I haven't worked this whole time. I don't know how I could have worked, and I've had guilt about not working, like during all the, that's just the kind of person I am. And my work has been so amazing with everything, just focusing on healing and all this stuff. So I couldn't ask for anything better in terms of support there. But there's definitely good things ahead now, and I can start building my strength and everything and get back to normal. So they think, so next steps are June 15th, I have my next doctor's appointment. And if I'm not off the wound vac by then, they think June 15th will be the day that I am done with the wound vac. So fingers crossed, as long as everything continues to progress. My nurse said this morning when he came to change it that he's like, I would say possibly another week or two on it. He said, then you might be able to send a picture and they might be able to get it off earlier. And then I would just switch to kind of packing the wound and just dressing it myself. And then the nurse would come in just to kind of check on me every like maybe 3 or 4 days. So that would be great, because then at that point I can go back to work, because I can't go to work with the wound back. So
You glossed over a few things. I want to go backwards. Can I?
okay, yes, please do. I'm not used to talking this much.
No, because I want to give you credit just as a strength and as a person. So I just want to talk about something that you just glossed on and people might have heard, but they're like, really? So your father was diagnosed and he was given a timetable and then he
He
passed
was,
away
yeah.
very soon after the timetable, which was an extended, it was a year, and then he passed away within a few days of that, correct? Is that right?
Yes,
So, and I know
yes.
you and your dad were close and your dad lived up in Michigan. And so bear in mind, you got a surgery. You knew you were going to have a hard road. You're in infection after infection. Your dad gives you the heavy news that he's terminal, right? He's
Right.
terminal, and he's
Yep.
got, but he's got an extended time period. You talk to him the night before, and he passes away on you. I can't imagine that emotional load.
Yeah,
You're,
that was
oh
real
God.
tough. He had pulmonary fibrosis and COPD, and we knew this, and we knew that it was not going to be a long road for him when he got diagnosed with these things. But he's the kind of person who just never, ever, ever, ever wanted me to worry. He would tell my brother things, but he would not tell me things. Because he just didn't want to worry me. So the day, a couple of days before, yeah, he said, yeah, they told me that I have about a year. And I believed him. You know, it's like I believe my brother was telling me, he's like, he was not doing well, you know, when we saw him a couple weeks ago and stuff. And I was like, okay, well we'll see him at Ethan's graduation. Like we'll be able to see him then. And that was kind of what we were thinking. And then just a couple of days later, yeah, my mom called and said that he had collapsed, and the paramedics were there. And at that point I was just praying. I was like, take him. I didn't want him to suffer anymore. I mean, that's supposedly one of the most horrible things to have to die from is, you know, COPD. And he was in so much pain, and it was a blessing that it happened so quickly. And it ended up that he had a heart attack. So that was what the medical examiner found when they checked him afterwards. And so it was just it. I'm sad that I didn't get to visit physically again, but we saw him at New Year's, and he was really holding it together, and it was a really fun time at New Year's. And I got to, we all FaceTimed him, and Sophie texted him the night before. And it was kind of like he had permission at that point to go. You know, he talked to us all, and it was kind of like a good closing, because we, you know, the kids don't normally FaceTime him and talk to him. It was kind of a special thing that they all did. And it was the next day. So it all was really hard and sudden, but it was the best way that it could have possibly have happened. And his funeral was beautiful, and
It's
there
just a
was,
lot. It was just a lot on
yeah,
you, you know, between you feeling
it
like
was a lot.
I can only, and when I received those texts from you And it was like the day of, like he, I was relaying it to Lisa. And like, I think our reaction was, what? You couldn't comprehend that, all the A to B to C to D in your life. And then now this, it was like, that's not, it couldn't possibly have
Right.
happened on top of this. That couldn't possibly have happened, And then, so that is one of the things we've learned with the show. We'll go back to like, just for a second, is like the crazy journey this started with like friendships and divorces and death into family, my father dying, your father passing away. Like the one cool thing that this has really brought everyone together is that like you have people to connect to, and you
Yes.
never know how close you are until like things go wrong, and then you send messages out.
Exactly.
You know the depth of people's friendships with you. But like when we were reading, I was like, Stacy, oh my God, like what more could happen at this point to you? So crazy.
Yeah, and on top of all that, Sophie dropped out of college. So like during this whole thing too. So it was just like all these major and I don't want to take that lightly. She dropped out because of mental health issues, and we're very proud of her for advocating for herself for that, and she it was the right thing for her to do. So my cat is biting me really hard right now, so I'm gonna try to remove my arm from him. Hold on one second. Ow. He's playing, but put a few holes in my arm. But no, so that was it was the right thing. But then moving her from Florida to back to Chicago, I did not go obviously, but Scott had to leave me for a week to do this, and there was just a lot that was happening, and it was just a big blur, the whole thing. So I'm glad to be kind of out of that, hopefully, at this point now, and
So
moving to the
people
other
would,
side.
yeah, people would be like, well, you've had a few months off of work and time, and you should be well rested, and be like, try it. That adage, we're at a spot in our life, we're in our mid-40s, where it's like, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And you're like, I hear those words, but like, you don't comprehend it until you lose your health. And like,
Right.
you've been a potato. You've been, and you've been
Right.
emotional, and you've been, your feelings of like, this will never end. And you would give it all up in a heartbeat just to be back to where you were. You probably almost had days where
Exactly.
you're like, screw it, I wish I never had the freaking
I
surgery just
know.
because
Yep.
my life just sucks,
And I
at
do
this
have to
point.
say, I've done a lot of reflecting on that, and people ask me like, do you regret doing this? I don't think I do regret it. It was obviously like just a bad trail of events that happened, but that's not normal. Like this situation is not a normal situation. Very, very few people have these complications after this surgery. My body is very susceptible to infection. My dad's was also very susceptible to infection, and I see it actually passing on to Sophie and Britta as well, like just with health, similar health issues. So I think that there's like a genetic aspect there, and it was just a very just bad situation that just happened to I happened to be unlucky with things, and it happened. But I think that in the future, once this is all cleared up, it's just gonna be a little blip in my journey, and I'm gonna be so much better and healthier having this done. And I think it's just gonna improve my quality of life so much. So I don't regret it. I would definitely do things differently if, I wouldn't opt for the vertical and horizontal incisions. Like I would do differently with that. But I don't regret doing it though. So.
No, that's been a crazy journey, and I can only hope you're past the corner and you get out just to see the sunshine and do
I
things again,
know. I know, me too.
so okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing. I wasn't trying to pry, but I know everyone that's
No,
listening
no,
is
no.
like, where has she been?
Right.
You're
Exactly. Yeah, and I was very noticeably off of social media a lot too.
Yes, that's how I know that, Stace. You love engaging and stuff, and there was
Yes.
about a 4 week period there where it's like, yeesh, she's not at
Yeah, I
all. Like
would put an
that's not,
update out there, and then that's about it. Like because I couldn't, I mean, I couldn't read. I couldn't watch anything that had any sort of a plot to it. I couldn't listen to any audiobooks. I couldn't knit. I watched Restaurant Impossible with Robert Irvine, like so many seasons of that, because it was something that just I could just kind of like get my attention on it, and it didn't require any brain cells to comprehend it. So like I couldn't, I would kind of scroll through social media, but didn't really retain anything. Like there were times like Amy Van Swole was going through, you know, testing for things, and I would be like, oh my gosh, that's right, that was, but then like 10 minutes later, I'd be like, oh yeah, I was gonna text her about this.
Yeah.
And then I would forget. Like it was just nothing would stick in my head. Like I couldn't think of anything. It was just a very weird situation. And I'm kind of glad that I went through it because now I can really empathize with people who are going through health situations. Like they're not just lounging and, you know, eating bonbons while they heal. Like it's a real, you know, it takes everything out of you. So.
When my aunt was dying, she was in a place up here in Des Plaines, and I always thought, oh, we'll go visit her. And then I realized one day, like, she's never leaving that room where I'm coming
Right.
and going, visiting, and like I'm carrying on life and going to all these, and I'm going to go home and see my family. And yeah, she's in the same spot, and she'll be in that spot, and she'll be in that spot.
Right.
And you weren't the same, but in a way you were. Like, where they left you, they found you,
Right.
and
Yep.
that isn't any fun. That's like you feel like the world's going on,
That's exactly. I
except for you.
missed an entire season.
Except for
I
you.
missed the entire spring season. Like I'm like I went into the hospital when it was snowing out. And I like have just started leaving the house and it's like 80 degrees
Summer.
outside.
Yeah.
So it's like I missed all of that. It's the weirdest situation. It's so weird.
Well, I look forward to at least having a front row seat to seeing your recovery, seeing all your
Thank you.
vacations, seeing all the things with the kids, seeing how the kids adapt to Easter next year. I look forward to
I
seeing,
know, we're exciting. We're this exciting time. Same with you.
Gotcha. Well, so okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing. Guys, we just wanted to go and kind of get you up to speed on that and whatnot. We look forward to many more vacations, gatherings, discussions, talks with our friends, as we continue on. We have no idea if we're going to have 10 more, 40 more, 400 more, 4,000 more. We don't know. We just enjoy the heck out of having it at this point, and we appreciate you sharing
Absolutely.
with us, guys. So, we'll sign off again, for Stacy,
All
for
right.
myself. Thank you. Love to everybody. Have a great day.
Bye, everyone.